Welcome back to episode 299 of the Bad Taste Video Podcast. I'm Mike. I'm here with Grizz, and we're getting ready to get into some medical malpractice. Death Nurse.
So like the fastest like title screen I think we've ever seen.
He's getting it over with.
That's great.
You know, I've never seen Death Nurse. I've never seen what is it? Crazy Fat Ethel or whatever. Criminally Insane Criminally Insane 2. I didn't know that.
Not
this
on my radar.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Like this was gonna have shit from those movies, or at least from the first one. But man. What a film. But before we get into that, we have to speak about something that we haven't spoken about in a while, and that's wrestling.
Yeah, probably knows what we nerd out. If you're not into wrestling, this is only take a moment, but it's important.
WrestleMania weekend has just passed. It feels like second Christmas, like right after you get that little like depression, like that thing you've been looking forward to is now gone. But I feel like this was... Like, I'm not a huge Cody Rhodes fan. Like, I don't really give a fuck. The story was good and everything. I'm not saying, like, them saying it over and over again. That got obnoxious as fuck. But I feel like WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2 were probably, like, the best combined nights in a very long time. Probably since I went to, like, WrestleMania 30, maybe. Like, that was the last, like, pretty good one.
It was a great build. Like, Night 1 made me more excited to watch the second night. You know, that's kind of how it should be. And I felt bad for the people in outdoors in Philadelphia.
It was cold.
Wild gamble.
I'm like an hour
first night
away.
It was like 40s, dude.
Yeah,
fuck
like
that.
I'm like around an hour away from Philly, and like it was pretty cold. And all I could think about was like, damn, I really want to I wouldn't want to be sitting out there. When I went to California, it got like pretty cold at night. Not even like that cold, maybe like in the 60s or whatever. And I was like getting a headache from like sitting in the sun all day and shit. Like I was having a terrible time by then. But overall, I would say this year was, it was very entertaining. I enjoyed night two more than night one. I think there was something for everybody in it. I didn't think there was any real like stinkers or anything.
You were pretty pissed off at one point, man.
I did not like Drew McIntyre losing the title with the cash in. It's like, give the guy a fucking break at this point, but they're probably going to have him win it at like Clash at the Castle or something, or he'll get it eventually. I really do like Drew McIntyre. Like, I like meta Drew McIntyre, like how he's going now. Like, where, like, all these, like, he's very, I'm going to say, like, quick witted or whatever. You know what I mean? He's always got something
like
pretty fucking funny to say.
Posted on Twitter in the middle of the match and shit like that, dude. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, when he like took the phone from his wife and or his girlfriend or whatever, and then like during the match,
he posted
on Twitter, bored at work, laugh out loud.
Oh my god, that's funny as hell. I love it. But if you have Peacock, I would say go back and watch it. It's included in your Peacock service or whatever. But you know,
the question I have for you though, dude, is like night two. We didn't talk about it yet. The main event, with The Rock being there and everything, man.
Dude. Okay. I like everybody knew somebody was gonna come out to interfere.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot, me and you. So.
I wanted Stone Cold so bad.
Same.
The Undertaker
it made
was
the most sense.
Yeah, the Undertaker was good, but. I don't know. Like he's too, I feel like I've seen him too much. You know what I mean? So like now it's not as like, It's not as cool.
Yeah. And I guess from like, you know, through the grapevine or like rumor mill or whatever, it had a lot to do with like, there's always been kind of a animosity or some kind of like professional jealousy with The Rock and Stone Cold. And I think it was an egos thing about who was going to be in that. Cause I know they'd reached out to Stone Cold and like, you know, everyone talked about him being there for it, but he's even like back in like some like WrestleMania where like, you know, he was like, I have to come out last or I'm not fucking wrestling when the match with The Rock.
Well, dude, like at this point, like he deserves it. Like when it comes to the, like the WWE, like Stone Cold is over The Rock. Like when it comes to the real world, obviously The Rock is more known and everything, but I feel like Stone Cold is also like a,
I'm not a household name in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. Like people know who Stone Cold Steve Austin is. Like my parents know who Stone Cold Steve Austin is. So you know what I mean? Like it's pretty fucking wild. But what's up, Desi? What's up, Gloomy Vampire? What's up, Viano Films? You guys into wrestling? You guys like wrestling or what? I fucking love wrestling.
I fucking love it for a while.
Yeah, man. One day when I start sharing my like wrestling tape collection, these people are gonna be like, "Wow, God, I don't post that shit at all, man. I don't show anybody anything."
Never have, man. It's fucking wild what you got.
Not until
I was actually, because I'd never seen it until I saw it in person, and I was like, "What the fuck, dude? This is a different level." I think you might have like the same amount of like wrestling stuff as you do like your really top end horror tapes, man.
Like I have, let's say I have three like shelf book, like three bookcases filled with only wrestling tapes. And like, I also have them like stacked on top of each other and all that shit. And then I think I have one, two, three, four, five. I think I have five regular VHS. I definitely have more like, I definitely have regular movies, more regular movies, but I have probably about like three quarters of the amount like wrestling. And everything. I have a ton of shit. It's fucking, love it.
Your deathmatch collection is fucking.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the gems right there, man.
Yeah. My foreign stuff is crazy, man. The stuff they wouldn't let us fucking buy here until the early 2000s.
That's such a funny fucking like brag. Yo, my foreign stuff is crazy, dog.
You ever see somebody get bit by a snake? You know, Macho Man, again. I got fucking matches with snakes, crocodiles, piranhas, fucking you name it, man. Electric heaters. Imagine that shit, bro, in each corner. That's terrible. Cacti in the corners. That's fucking hard. Dude, it's wild shit. Wild. All before the light tubes, man. Like before they started like really doing the light tubes. That's where they were. Glass. They like were a lot piranhas. Of straight glass and everything. Yeah. Glass casket and all that. God damn. But Grizz, let's get into this week's movie. Death Nurse from 1987. I've seen it around. I've seen people speak about it. I was not familiar with what it was about. I wasn't familiar with like, you know, the movies that came before it and all that stuff. But I was pleasantly surprised. Also because the movie was like 57 minutes long. So that was like fucking, that was great.
To get through.
Yeah.
It has that like classic shot on video feel of the late 80s, but it also has like something that a lot of those movies also have in common of like a very loose story that doesn't. I mean, the thrill of this movie is basically like this goofy plot line that really ends in like
doesn't end
climactic way.
It doesn't really end.
No, it doesn't. That's kind of was like the only like negative, I guess I would say about this movie is just like the ending is a little bit of a letdown, I guess, in some way. But with that being said, it's kind of a fucking cool movie. I love this concept of this nurse and this doctor who are just like, are they brother and sister? Is that
brother
what
and
was?
Sister? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And like he's kind of like he's a doctor, but like he's basically like. Not a doctor. He's just learning and trying surgeries on these people just to say that he's being a doctor and shit like that. And she's like basically accommodating him that he's like, you know, having these patients that they're bringing in and she's the nurse and allowing him to do these fucked up surgeries.
They're not even surgeries. He's just murdering them. He's just straight up murdering. Killing them.
Yeah, like it's a surgeries with butcher knives and shit like that. It's the crudest form of surgery possible.
They're scamming their state's medical system by taking these people in, saying they're going to get care, but really they kill them, bury them, and charge them.
So Silhouetted Animator, this is not actually known as Crazy Ethel movie. It's has like parts of that movie in this, though, like would have been like little like clips, like flashback dream sequences or something like that.
Yeah. Priscilla Alden, who I guess plays the main character in those in the original movie, she plays Edith Mortley. That's like the death nurse in this film. So it's the same actress. Maybe like 10 years apart or something like that. That movie's pretty old. And they used a little bit of footage from that film in this, but they're not connected in any sort of way. This isn't a, it's not a sequel or anything. Criminally Insane has it. Well, that's what it is, right? Criminally Insane, Crazy Fat Ethel or whatever. And then there's Criminally Insane 2. Those are not connected to this movie in any sort of plot way. Just Priscilla Alden.
They showed the clips in like a dream that the death nurse is having, but it's never like a part of the story of like the movie that we're watching. It's just kind of like a throwaway thing, I think, to get some extra gore
into
the mix of this movie.
Pad it a little bit, you know. Do I think this movie even needed that? No. I really felt like it could have just been like a short film, maybe like 45 minutes or whatever. It's a horror comedy. It's played a little bit more straight than a lot of the ones that we've watched in the past, but it is at its core a comedy.
Dude, film. I like that. I like that. And it is played a little straighter and it is a horror comedy still. I think that is like it's a funner way to like go into a horror comedy because it keeps some people like guessing a little bit of like, is this fucking supposed to be this stupid or is this supposed to be like, or is like, you know, what's the deal with this kind of thing? It's a double-edged sword, though, too, because we talk about stuff like, Nudist Colony of the Dead or the fucking, what was the one that we just watched there with the fucking, the vampire in the trailer park, dude?
Oh, Vampire Trailer Park?
Yeah, dude, like, you know, things like that that are just, like, outright goofy, you know, it's a completely different vibe of a movie compared to, like, this kind of a dark comedy. They are both, like, you know, dark comedies in a sense, but they're played very, very differently. I like them both, but this kind of sensibility to me is a little bit better.
Yeah. I just have like a love for these like oddball shot on video movies of this time period. I feel like it didn't break into the mainstream of like underground filmmakers yet. Like you didn't have your American wave of Tempe video releases and cinema home video shit and all that. Very, very odd, right? Almost like they all have this feeling, like the same feeling that like Driller Killer has and everything.
Well, as much as I love 90s, you know, shot on video, a lot of my favorite stuff comes from there. There is something completely different and like very endearing about the 80s shot on video stuff. And it is because of a lack of that like flooding the market, I guess, of for a term. A bunch of, you know, low budget. These are very, like, they're all unique in their own way still. They're, like, they're all very set apart from, like, this isn't, like, video violence or blood cult in any way. This is its own thing, you know?
I feel like at this point, anybody that's kind of making shot-on-video films, maybe, like, went to film school or is, like, a professional in the industry, the barrier was a little bit higher when it came to, like, price of entry at this point. You know what I mean?
Getting your hands on a camera. Like, there's video cameras everywhere in the 90s, camcorders and shit like that. In comparison to, like, you really had to invest still in getting a camcorder or any kind of, like, you know, fucking camera that you'd record this movie on in the 80s. We're talking not like, oh, here's $100. It would be, like, very expensive.
Yeah, and I'm guessing Criminally Insane was maybe Super 8. It looks like Super 8.
Yeah.
Footage
is 100% Super 8.
Yeah, you could tell what's taken from that movie. It looks like obviously different than a camcorder. Sometimes you think you're watching a different film, but it all kind of fits. It all kind of works. and I really actually enjoyed this. Surprisingly, I don't know why, but I was like totally into like doing it, but I was a little hesitant if I was going to like the movie or not. Cause usually
I was the same way, dude. Honestly, I went into it thinking the same thing.
I don't know what I was thinking it was going to be about. I really wasn't sure, but once like the movie started rolling and I saw what the plot was and everything, I really thought it was like fucking funny. Like just the way that they're doing like the billing of all these people and the shit. Like, we have a clip of one of the surgeries and you see like he's asking for a scalpel, but he's not being handed them. And it's like, you could tell that something is fishy, that they're not actually trying to help these people. But, I could put it like this, that, Grizz labeled this as steak knife surgery. So this guy is awake, being held down on a bed with his mouth covered, and he's being stabbed with a steak knife in the stomach. And you see the like this, yeah, the death nurse, Edith Mortley. Something. He's gone.
Please notify the appropriate agencies. It was a very difficult surgery.
Yeah, and you see there's just
a fucking knife sticking out like of
five
me.
Fucking steak knives sticking out of this guy's stomach. So that's how they end up
difficult surgery. I love that line.
And you see like that's how they make their money. Like they say that this was some sort of difficult surgery, he didn't make it, but you still got to bill him. Or like they're staying here for this amount of time, but really they're killing them almost immediately and getting rid of the corpse or whatever.
Yeah, we have this like this tuberculosis patient that this social worker brings them, and the social worker becomes a pretty like critical, you know, part of this whole thing. But you know, this patient is basically like there for a day, and they fucking off this guy.
Yeah.
And immediately they're like, "Oh, we can build this for 5 months. We can, you know, we can get 5 months of insurance pay out of this, and then we'll say that we told them to move out of state, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah, move to Utah or Arizona, whatever it was.
Yeah, and so that's the whole scam, you know. They're basically just fucking, they're not taking care of shit, but they're collecting the fucking insurance money on it. But that gets them in a little bit of trouble, too, because these fucking people, you know, end up needing to get checked on. We got the social worker coming back to check on the fucking tuberculosis patient.
I love
this. There's a whole charade game, because the first time he comes, they say, "Oh, he's too sick," and the fucking doctor is on the top of the stairs.
Stage one.
Coughing,
yeah. Stage one, this dude is just doing the same cough over and over again, but it looks like they're just like replaying the same footage also. It is actually incredibly funny how it sounds, because the woman believes it too, which I'd be like, "Yo, that's, are you playing like a recording up there?
Dude, what are we doing here?"
So this is the social worker.
Is that Mr. Davis?
Played by Nick Millard's mom. Gloomy Vampire.
He had a bad night last night. My brother, Dr. Mortley, is with him.
Yeah, so that's the doctor at the top of the stairs just coughing. He's peeking down like he's looking for fucking Santa Claus on Christmas, though.
The timing is like so... When I was watching it, I was like... Bro, you gotta like break these coughs up a little bit more, dude. This is way too like,
yeah, you can, like,
on beat.
Yeah, that's what I find so funny about it, because everything is just kind of like over the top. It's like a borderline what's it called? John Waters film. It's like almost in that territory. Actually, I think it kind of is in that territory. The shit
it definitely straddles that line for sure. I can see that.
Yeah, because she has like her pet rats and stuff in the basement. Which is kind of funny, like they're trying to make it seem like these rats are like these like disgusting things, but they just look like pet rats.
They look pretty good. They were just chilling, bro.
Yeah, they were just hanging out.
Rats you'd buy at the fucking pet store and shit.
Yeah, they were like hanging out in the Wizard of Gore. Rats. They were hanging out in the Wizard of Gore cemetery lighting for some reason.
Yeah. All right, did look like that, dude.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck was up with that, but I did enjoy. Phase two of their plan to deceive this woman.
She comes back, man. She's got to see this fucking dude. She wants to see him in person. Make sure he's okay.
And they must have seen the classic Weekend of Bernie's, because they pull this off pretty well. Actually, at first, I was like, wait a second. I was like, is he in the bed or?
Oh, okay.
Dr. Mortley asks that you not go in because of the danger of contagion.
I understand.
So she's peeking in the room.
Hello, Mr. Davis. You're looking fucking much head, better dude. Today, Mr. Davis.
Wait, is this the other dude?
No, this is the tuberculosis dude, man.
Yeah. So, Dr. Mortley is laying next to the bed, waving his arm of, like, the dead body, like, waving her away.
Bro, the fucked up thing, too, about this is that, like, there's a scene of him burying this guy right after the fucking steak knife surgery. Fucking buries him, right? And, like, so they have to fucking go and dig the body up. And then there's a scene of him, like, hosing it off with a garden hose and all the fucking dirt.
Yeah.
They throw this fucking body who's been buried for a day or two in this fucking bed. I'm like, there's no way. This thing would start fucking stinking, dude.
It didn't look
just the absurdity of it is great.
It didn't look too bad, though.
No, it was fresh, bro. When he was fucking hosing it off, I was like,
She even said his color was better. Oh, his color's improving, which is fucking hilarious. Like, Jesus Christ. There's like a ton of funny shit though, like when they're doing the surgeries. Like, it's not only the butcher knife, like when he's doing the one surgery, he asks for the saw. And she's like, You left the saw in the last guy. I thought this was really actually another like incredibly funny thing. And he's kind of just like, well, fuck it. I like
surgical
that.
Saw.
Surgical saw. She hands him like a wood saw, like a old fashioned
inside Mr. Powell, hand saw. Dr. Mortley.
It's fucked up that these people are alive and like struggling in the bed.
Yeah.
And you just hear this like sawing
that
noise.
That sound? Oh, that's the sound that got me. I was like, dude, the fucking blood hitting him in the face.
The guy's making all faces and shit. They don't like show them actually like really doing much. But it's super.
The this movie's minimal.
But it's effective. Like, it's you don't need it.
That sound did it for me, honestly. Like, even without the fucking, the blood spurting on the guy's face, I'd have been like, oh, that's fucking cringy. Just the idea of being awake and having your bones sawed on, dude. That's fucking
fucked hard. Up, man. I like the woman that they have that's like the booze hound.
Yo, and he's like, the doctor's basically just like giving her booze so he can hook up with her all the time and shit.
Yeah, she's like, do you like our arrangement? And she's got like, she's got like that old like V-neck on. She's all like saggy looking, laying in the bed. She's got like a bottle of fucking whatever, like an eighth
she
or something.
Like Max Mom from fucking Always Sunny. That's exactly what she fucking looks like.
At one point, she fucking drinks the nurse's sherry. She's like, somebody drank half my sherry. And it's like, you better fucking handle her.
The nurse gets pissed at the fucking brother for like for fucking this patient being like, why are you keeping her here? And he's like, dude, it's so fucked up.
Well, like at one point he's like, oh, I have to like examine like the, you know, the patient or whatever. And she's like, I'm sure you'll give her a good one or whatever. It's like, oh my God. I thought they were married at first.
It is because like the relationship could come across that way a little bit, but I think they did say brother and sister at one point or whatever, but it would definitely almost play better as if they were like a married couple trying to do this, like get away with this like whole scheme of like running this wellness center, I guess, you know?
Yeah. I feel like they would have way more money the way that they were like billing stuff.
Yeah.
Right, like they were saying, like $3,000 here, $2,000 there, and this was fucking 1987, man. 87,
baby, that's fucking banking.
They were rolling in it. They looked like they were living in the Texas Chainsaw House. Like, the fuck was up with that, right? The guy comes in.
Didn't make any sense to me either.
The fucking health inspector is like,
oh, and he finds the rats in the basement, dude.
Yeah, you got fucking rats coming from the sewer into your basement. They handle that motherfucker, though, right?
Dude, not even getting out of the building.
He looks like a creep, though.
Yeah, he's writing him up. He just said she's getting closed.
Yeah, she's got the huge-ass knife. She's stabbing him, but it looks like fancy sauce is coming out of him. Right? Like, that's what is going on there? Is that supposed to be, intestinal juice or something?
Orange.
He's like mixing that
Graham
shit.
Graham's vodka sauce is what that looks like, dude.
What'd you say? The what?
It's my Graham's vodka sauce, dude.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, that's what. Yeah, it looks like he's stabbing a fucking container of Penny alla vodka.
Yeah, dude, it really
That's
does,
it. That's what's going on there.
That's there's, the color, man. I'm telling
dude,
you.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that because it works. Not, this is dude. Probably the most graphic scene in the whole movie.
Yeah, I mean, besides like the flashbacks from like the fucking other movie, there's some yeah. good like head gore and shit in those. But
yeah,
like,
I guess you're right.
This was definitely up there.
Dude, these like clips from this other from Criminally Insane, like there's something about these low budget films from the 70s that they actually used like a ton of actual gore. It's always very like unsettling looking. Right? Like, it's always very vivid and everything. The colors are always, like, super pops. Contrast. Yeah, it's really... Yeah,
definitely poppy, that's for sure, man.
And here's one of the flashbacks that contain footage from that movie. Like, it just has a certain vibe to it.
Yeah, this guy's mercury thermometer red. That's exactly the color.
This guy's, like, trying to crawl away. This much younger-looking woman.
Oh, I love those flashes on it. That's a good effect.
Hacking him with a fucking cleaver. He's like all red looking. Like it looks.
Dude,
like
I like
chunky.
The struggle there that he's having. That like.
He's just still alive. Not like,
yeah, and just like the reaction to like the hitting. It's
like
so
a
well
trippy,
acted.
Trippy cut, man. What the fuck's going on there? She's fucking. She's just fucking smoking right that PCP there, before she's. God damn.
That was really doing it for me, guys. I'm not gonna lie.
that's like with all those like movies like the like I Eat Your Skin and like I Drink Your Blood and all that shit. Like those movies have a very specific look to them, and I feel like that movie does too. We might have to visit that one day. I think we may have to watch that movie.
Just seeing that doesn't make me a little bit like, man, we haven't covered anything like that in such a long time. We should definitely get back to doing some of those like hidden gem classics that we might be just, you know, overlooking in our love for the obscure. There's got to be a few we have to get into still.
Of course. Of course. Everybody's talking about like early 90s. Let's see, early 90s, early 2000s kid. Yeah, that's pretty much what I was too, I would say. Yeah. I was born
We were both born in the late 80s, right?
Yeah, yeah. Fucking, we were in the boom of the video stores, the boom of the internet. And the boom of
downfall of society.
I was gonna say, do I make a 9/11 joke or no? Or is that too soon?
Yeah, I'll just say it's time. It's past.
But this movie, for the most part, has like no real stakes to it, right? Like they're never really in any sort of like serious trouble. For some reason, like they're able to just kill these people and their problems die with them. I kind of like that. I kind of do like that. I don't like the high tension. Of like, you know, are they going to get caught? Are these people like, what are they going to do? Like, I like when it's nice and relaxing. Nice, relaxing, well,
it's
and ridiculous.
It's definitely ridiculous. And like one of the most ridiculous things is that like the social worker we saw earlier, the director's mother, she decides, you know what? They took care of that fucking tuberculosis patient so well. I myself am going to fucking come to this place.
Yeah, what
for
the
my
fuck
care.
Was up with that? She didn't even have anything wrong with her, right? Did she?
I was just like, what the fuck, dude? It's so
yeah.
weird.
And
they end
up.
She didn't seem ill at all, I can tell you that. She just seemed like she wanted to be waited on.
Yeah, she was pretty fucking obnoxious, and she couldn't take it after like after like a day, it seems like, well, right? She's like, that's it.
Death nurse treatment, dude.
Yeah, she's about to get the fucking death nurse treatment.
Death nurse!
She's running after her with like a fucking 12-inch fucking kitchen knife. This woman's trying to get into her room. It's locked conveniently. And the death nurse lives up to her name. Michael Myers stabbing right in the back.
The way they do this is pretty trippy too. They do a lot of the cuts here.
It's like quick cuts. Quick. Boom.
I look at it.
Boom. Herschel Gordon Lewis-esque.
Yeah, that dude. It's very much like of a Herschel fucking like camera trick to show you the gore without showing you that it's not truly gore. You know.
Yeah, these people talking. You had to have a computer and a modem to even get the internet. Do you remember when you actually had to know the website address by heart? that you couldn't just fucking
type the whole fucking
search engines. You had a fucking, oh my God. Everybody had an angel fire site and all that stuff. Moon fruit sites, fucking shit. Man. I used to, one of my earliest computer memories was watching like a maybe minute long clip on some Microsoft movie thing at my friend's house. And it was of Nightmare on Elm Street when Nancy's running up the stairs and they turn into like the mud as she's going up. And I remember that being like, I was like, yo, play it again. Play it again. I want to see it again. So my earliest computer fucking memories. But this movie pretty much is just like a rinse and repeat of these people getting patients, figuring out how to kill them in a way.
Yeah.
And then disposing of them with nobody knowing. Eventually, the booze hound gets it too.
She has to go. Well, she saw the fucking death nursing the fucking social worker. She witnessed it. So now she herself must become a victim of getting death nursed. But this is a pretty cool way to fucking die. She comes in with a syringe the size of a goddamn football, dude, and like is ready to go to town on you.
She goes after her with a comically large syringe.
No.
Yep.
She looks like a little Frankenstein-ish.
Is she difficult? It's little that hair. Frankenstein.
It's that updo.
It is the deal.
I'm gonna say something right now. If somebody's ever coming at you with a blade, don't cower into the corner of the room. Yeah. All right?
That's not the reaction you should have.
Yeah. So they don't show really anything with it. Yeah, there it is. It flashes in. Pretty brutal. That scream is pretty. Yeah,
I like
pretty brutal.
Actually,
that was pretty good. But yeah, don't cower into the fucking corner, please. Do anything but that. Throw. Here you go. If you're on your fucking bed, and the person's gonna come at you. Throw the blanket onto them and then run. Try anything. Anything, then just cower. And Silhouetted Animator, you are correct. QuickTime Vids. Yeah, that's what it was. The VHS copy of this movie, I never seen for sale on eBay. I think I may have seen one not that long ago, actually. I am not sure, though. I have to think about it.
Definitely one of the ones that I've rarely seen.
It didn't go. It didn't.
From time to time.
It didn't go for that much, if I remember correctly. It wasn't crazy expensive.
That one surprised me. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, there's certain tapes that they're cool to have. They're just not that expensive, or it goes in cycles.
They're not the flavor of the month tape either. Yeah. That you want to post and
yeah, well, like you remember, like even 10 years ago or whatever, people were still trying to get. You know, MCA fucking original MCA tapes and all that, and Prism tapes, and not just fucking Blood Rage and all that. Like it was all bigger.
Damn near had every fucking
Prism tape. Bigger distros and all that shit, and everything changes. And this will be $1 million one day, hopefully, for some lucky person out there. But Grizz, we don't have a clip of it, but let's talk about the ending to this movie.
Yeah, I didn't pull the clip, dude, because like we've kind of mentioned before, there really isn't an ending. It's not like I have this like big scene to show you guys that's going to impress you or sell you on like the ending of this movie. It's pretty much a detective who is family member, is a had been a patient there, has come to visit.
Bring up some magazines.
He gets kind of shooed away at the door. He's walking away. He smells some stink. He fucking checks out the garage of the place, finds some fucking bodies, I assume, because they don't even show, him finding anything. He just kind of turns around and walks back out. Then she's just like sits on the couch. And then
he's walking towards the front door, it looks like.
Yeah.
And then it's just Edith Mortley, RN, and Dr. Gordon Mortley sitting on the couch, like staring into space.
Just chilling.
And that's it. It just ends. Boom. They got away with it. Because there is a death nurse too. Right? I believe there is a death nurse too.
Now I'm interested to see if that that picks right up where we left off or if it's a continuation of a different storyline.
Let's see. Death Nurse 2. 1988. Let's see. The rarest VHS SOV tape is Tales from the Quad Ed Zone. I could tell you this, man, it isn't. There are tapes
that hard disagree for me as well.
There are tapes out there that have far, far lower print runs that I have never.
Is it a super rare tape? Absolutely. I mean, you're not going to see it often.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
A couple of years ago, they found
name 10 people that have it in their collection.
They found a box of them a couple of years ago.
I might be surprised because that happens a lot. Look at fucking, what was it, Haunted Ween that everyone thought was a fucking, you know, harder tape to get. All of a sudden, the director has a fucking whole fucking case of them.
I did not buy one from him because I wanted a real copy. Not that those weren't real, but like I wanted one that was circulated.
And, old school. Yeah.
You know, especially because it's like a Halloween movie. Like my Scary Movie's direct from the director. Like it was his. So I feel like, that's a thing of the past. I feel like contacting these dudes and being like, yo, you got any fucking old stock? That shit is fucking far, far gone. Like,
Who's like, you know, purchased a lot of big collections, a lot of video stores and stuff, and have gone through a massive amount of tapes. Things that like I always thought early on were like rare, hard to find tapes are actually way more common than you would think. Yeah. Like, is video violence a hard, you know, tape to find? Sure. I've legitimately found a few copies over the years. Not even like, you know, I've purchased one, but I've found a few.
Literally
others.
Found them.
Like, it's not, legitimately found them. So it's like, you know, within reason, things are, you know, we talk about scarcity and rarity and stuff like that. We're not trying to be like, you know, oh, that's not fucking rare and this and that. Like, you know, it's definitely things are harder to find than other things.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, there are, you know, there are definitely some titles that I'm sure that people have, you know, that we don't even know about that are insanely, even, you know, low runs.
Look at like the Red Flag Down tapes. Those probably 100%. I bet those had a lower print run.
I wouldn't doubt that.
I think maybe My Dead Is Dead 2 had a lower print run.
I know that, Heaven is Heaven is Only in Hell and,
lower print run. Yeah.
Half Past Midnight are extremely, extremely low print runs.
It's
a lot of bootlegs. Same thing with Quad Dead. I mean, there's a lot of fucking bootlegs. There's a lot of convention copies that people are calling
them. Fuck
now
around with that shit.
Straight. Stay away from it. My best advice is to stay away from it.
The only bootlegs I have are the ones that, my boy Sutter Kane makes me, and they don't look.
I have a few, and they're the ones that like EK has made for me and shit like that. He did cool fucking hand drawings.
Well, he's done a few he's done a few for us also, but there was a reason for them. Generally I want my tapes to just be like, oh, you're gonna make me a copy of the tape, just write the name of it on it for me, please. Like, I don't want it to be confused with a real copy or anything like that. Let's see. I had the VHS tape of Todd Sheets. Longest scored for $40. Had to sell what it was worth. Much more than $40 to pay the bills.
I believe the name of that was called Shivers.
Shivers. That's like a later release. That was one of the Shakarama ones, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe. But Grizz, give me your final thoughts on Death Nurse before we wrap this up.
Oh man, Death Nurse was fun for what it was, man. I mean, if you're not it's a quick watch, so it's not like you're like, oh, I have to invest in this story and I want this big, you know, fucking full outcome and all this bullshit. It's a dark comedy that just gives you some really fun scenes to laugh at. I think this is a great time with a bunch of people, like, you know, hanging out, catching scenes as they go by. Excuse me, because you don't have to fucking like be invested in a story to watch this.
Yeah.
You're not missing anything. You're just kind of being like, oh, hey, dude, check this out. This fucking scene is funny. And like, you know, you can move on with it and continue the conversation you guys are having.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I really like this. It's really quick. It's not a hard watch. The dialogue is like really insanely funny, easy to follow, really not like a terrible amount of it.
Death Nurse is hilarious. She's got some fucking great, great lines. Calling everybody a bitch and shit.
Yeah.
Like,
her delivery.
I'm like, dude, I'm not with that.
Her delivery is awesome. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. You could find it online. I think there's DVDs out. I don't know if there's a Blu-ray or whatever. 555, got that. Grizz next week, episode 300, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@BadTasteVideoPodcast. We will be joined by our man, E.K. Wimmer of the Laser Graves Podcast, to do our 300th episode, the extravaganza. And we figure we would do something related to our namesake, and we will cover the films of Peter Jackson. We're going to talk about the classics that have inspired us. We obviously got our name from one of his movies, so we thought that would be a great way to celebrate 300, nice and casual. Bring on the unofficial honestly, third.
I was going to say, if there's anybody that's going to come on and celebrate 300 episodes with us, man, it has to be the unofficial third of Bad Taste Video, and that is E.K. Wimmer of the Laser Graves podcast.
You guys got to do the fucking man. You got to do your homework. You got to watch Bad Taste. You got to watch fucking Dead Alive. You got to watch Meet the Feebles. You got to watch fucking Heavenly Creatures. You got to fucking watch all three Lord of the Rings movies.
Frighteners. Don't forget about Frighteners, that shit, bro. Baby.
We covered that shit too, man. We're doing it all. We're fucking doing it all. Fucking King motherfucking Kong. We're doing everything. Peter goddamn Jackson. Next week.
Good Lord.
I will try my hardest between now and then to see if I can get him on the line.
And he's your boy, so let's fucking connect happen.
We'll see, man.
I got some cool things that I will be some showing off next week.
Very good.
So you guys are into fucking some cool Peter Jackson related, I guess, shit. Promo stuff from the past. Cool shit.
I think they're gonna be pretty amazed. I've never seen it before. Actually, you should.
I've never seen them before. The moment I saw them, I was like, these need to be in my Dead Alive collection. So I think you guys will be psyched on it. Check them out.
Yep. So next Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@BadTasteVideoPodcast. And who knows? Maybe we'll have some more guests. I'll see if I can figure that out. Maybe have some people pop in. I don't know. Cool. We will see.
Some surprises planned, though.
Yeah. We got this. We're going to have a lot of fun, be nice and casual. But, Grizz, on to the wide world of metal. And what do you have for us this week? I see your little water there, man. I raise your little water.
I have the fucking worst cotton mouth, bro. My fucking shit is dry as a camel's mouth. All right, so basically what I have for you guys this week, all the way from fucking Mesa, Arizona, is the one and only Blood Loss. This band fucking rules. It looks like a bunch of fucking kids, which makes me super excited to know that, because this is as like true fucking old school death metal as it gets, in my opinion.
Yeah.
This is fucking awesome. It's raw. It's got great fucking vocals. It's got great riffs and rhythm and groove to it. Amazing fucking guitar solos that these dudes are putting together. All the way around, when I found it, I was like, yeah, this is a must cover for everybody. This is an unsigned independent band. So if you guys dig this stuff, definitely fucking find stuff like this and support the fuck out of it.
Yeah, so let's start with the intro track.
I had to grab this. Just what a way to fucking start an album, dude.
I really like the intro, and then the last track also has a very like outro track feel to it, 100%. You know? But here is the intro. Awesome artwork.
I love the old school logo. It looks like it's from fucking 1993.
Whoa. Oh, give me the fucking dive bomb. Anytime I hear that shit, it just makes me want to... Even know. I love the vocalist too. Vocalist fucking awesome. Reminds me of like Obituary.
Dude, yeah. It reminds me of good, like chopped in half Obituary, man.
Yeah.
Like back when they were fucking ripping.
Slowly we rot.
That
era. This is the first time I've ever heard them. You sent them to me, obviously. I think the whole EP is 19 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, it's a quick. This band doesn't have like throughout their entire discography from 2021 to now, it's all demos. They don't have a single, full release out yet. This band is really like, kind of in their infancy still. There's a rehearsal demo from this past year that they just put out as well. I'm excited though for anything that that they're gonna do. And this next track that we're gonna play, Tales of Decrepit, this is kind of a good idea of like what this fucking vocalist is capable of, and really like the groove that this band can put together.
I love the production of this also. Like, it matches the time period. I love player ask, right? This is awesome.
Double that time on that shit, dude. Yeah, dude. Fuck yeah.
I feel like it, like the whole album is, I'm not going to say like a nod to early 90s metal, but like they figured out how to recreate that shit in, I guess, 2022 this came out in. So
yeah, that's a great point. They've really figured out how to recreate it and make it feel authentic. I think a lot of people they do a good job of like, you know, capturing some of that. If you told me this fucking album came out in the early 90s, just like you just said, man, the production is so fitting to the time period that's trying to be, you know, reproduced here. It's everything about it, from the vocals, the way the song is produced, the way the song is written. It feels so perfectly old school death metal. And I knew it was going to be badass because like one of these fucking kids with the fucking big long curly hair had a fucking Mortician shirt on.
There you go.
In the picture. There you go. And I was like, this,
that's it. One thing I will say is that just because we're saying that like the singer sounds like the dude from fucking Obituary, they don't really sound like another band. I wouldn't say that. They really like are ripping anybody off or anything. Very unique, but like just they fit in that genre and that time period. Our third clip is
This is my favorite.
Signs of Malnourishment.
This fucking shows how like good of a songwriters they are. They're not just like, here's typical metal. Like, this is a real fucking interesting riff. It adds a cool fucking groove to it. There's great guitar playing in this part. This part, when I first heard it, got me so psyched for this album. This was like the selling point for me.
This is awesome. This sounds like Entombed.
Oh, dude, yeah. This fucking nailed the fucking comparison game.
This is my favorite period of metal.
Yeah,
this is like music that you can like make like horror compilations to. Like if you're gonna do like splatter compilations, type of shit that you do it to. You know what I mean? Like, it's perfect for that.
It's just a perfect example of like, this band is not just like a one trick pony. They do all things from that time period so well, and it's so easily meshed together. The guitar player is a fucking ripper. It's a three piece, which I absolutely love.
Singer, drums, bass player.
Yep. Dude. Just
nice.
Fucking awesome. That's like the perfect. If you can pull off something that sounds like this with three guys, you are impressive as fuck to me, dude. Like,
yeah.
You guys are the truth, in my opinion.
Did they tour? Do you know if they play out or not?
I'm not sure if they tour. There is some like live videos of them and stuff like that you can find on YouTube and everything. So I'm sure they play, you know, around Arizona. Maybe they're doing like some supporting tours and stuff like that. If they are, get on their Bandcamp, check that shit out. I was on there earlier. I don't know they have that. But dude, I cannot wait for this band to put out a full length album, even if it's just like an EP. Like, give me something that's just like a little bit longer than these like three or four track songs, you know? Or I need something a little bit more heft to it.
Yeah, yeah. But dude, you know, sometimes it's better off just putting out the shorter fucking album, and everything's a banger on it.
Yeah, that's true for sure.
Because then you remember shit like that. But this one is called The Order of Malevolence by Bloodloss. They also have Visions of a Darker World. I'm going to actually listen to that later. And The Crusher and Mass Murder EP. Is that them too?
That's a mass murder demo is listed over here on Metal Archives from 2021. That's got to be their original. The original was Mass Murder, then The Crusher after that same year.
Yeah, that's it. Visions. And then they got the upglow. They got the upglow with the logo and everything. That was it.
Yeah, dude.
That was it. But yeah, definitely.
Apparently there's another band called Bloodloss out of like, it's like a groove metal band out of Illinois. So don't confuse it with that. If you're listening to something that's like way too groovy and not this,
yeah,
you got the wrong band.
Yeah. If it doesn't look like it's coming out from, it's coming out of fucking Grizz's lifted pickup truck with the blacked out windows. That's probably not.
That's not it, bro.
It's a pretty wide like range of people that would be driving that.
Dude, it is, as a giant truck owner, I feel like I'm almost an anomaly of like the big truck owners out there. Like mine is obviously like a giant death metal truck. It's completely black rims, fucking 37 inch tires, black windows. It's got a giant fucking Mortician logo in the back window that covers the whole thing. It doesn't fuck around. Whereas like everybody else that has a fucking giant truck has a like We the People fucking sticker in the back window. I'm definitely like the odd man out of that group in my area. Anyways.
Dude, the dudes like pull up to you at the light and like give you the nod, and they're wearing like they're wearing the Make America Great Again hat, like they're doing like the
100%, yeah, like the thumbs up.
and you're like me, man. You're a fucking moron too, where you always wear camo hats and shit.
Yeah, dude,
I'm the same way.
I'm a disguised good old boy. That's for sure, dude.
Well,
fucking undercover that shit.
People would be shocked, like with me. Like I'm wearing Wellingtons shit. I'm wearing the fucking the camo hat and all that stuff. Like it's like, oh yeah, I listen to this shit and I'm a fucking maniac when I watch these movies. Oh, sheesh.
It is what it is.
Sheesh. You know? But Grizz, man, 299 in the books. Actually, we already did, 306 episodes. This is technically our 307th release.
A lot of bonus episodes, some other extra stuff that we've done.
We haven't done that in a while. We haven't done any bonus shit in a while. Yeah, we always talk about it, but we don't do it, man. It's so busy. Life gets busy, man. You know?
This is hectic, bro.
Yeah, and plus, like, the depression.
We show up every week. Though,
yeah, the mental illness, the depression.
Every Tuesday.
Yeah, this is
kidney stones, the fuck.
Dude, I'm still going through that shit. I'm gonna be on cloud nine. One thing I will say is I still need to see the fucking Godzilla movie that just came out, and I do enjoy the Shin Godzilla -1 type Godzilla, but I do enjoy like the American series. It's like, you know, go fucking eat a snack and watch this fucking, spectacle or whatever.
That Godzilla 2000 isn't aging well right now with all the current events. I tell you that much. Be a hard watch.
And I'm waiting for that other one. It's in theaters, but it's going to be on Shudder, I think. 419, it's coming out, that Late Night with the Devil movie with David Desmalchin or whatever, however you say his name.
Turn me onto that. I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I'll show you after the show. Yeah, it looks pretty good. It looks pretty interesting. Apparently, it's good. Confirmed good already. But Grizz, next week it's going to be episode 300.
Man, 300, baby.
We did it. At what point do we retire, man? Do you have a number in mind?
I'm not. I'm feeling good still, man. I still love doing this. So I don't see a.
Do we ever run out of movies?
I think that's probably going to be the deciding factor more so than our fucking want.
I can tell you this
because this is just a fun thing for me and you to do every week to fucking hang out. So
we don't want to turn it into like a real life mystery science theater where we're forced to watch things. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we still enjoy this. We, believe it or not, screen our shit before we pick it. We do a little research, we skim through the movie and everything. We make sure that it's actually something that we could talk about for an hour or so that people would want to be, you know, people want to actually know about it or whatnot. There are a lot that we throw to the side. One day maybe we'll do another like compilation episode, and we'll do a lot of those like weird things, like that one, that prank one that we were talking about off
That looks just fun, dude. I think maybe that could be a fun bonus episode that we actually try to like follow through on. It's something that me and you record, not live, but we just upload to the YouTube channel.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Something cool to build a book out.
Yeah, for sure. But until then, you're going to have to settle for episode 300 next week, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/AtMattsVideoPodcast. Oh, man. And Mr. Grizz, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Instagram @Kane_Enabler.
And you can find me at Bad Taste Video, and you can find everything we do at www.badtastevideo.com. We have a Patreon. We have some shit up there. But if you want to donate to help us keep the lights on, that would be great, because it does cost a little money to keep the website going, which is www.badtastevideo.com. Viano Films, you are the man. Gloomy Vampire, thanks for coming again. Silhouetted Animator, thank you also for coming again. Everybody in the chat, thank you. Grizz, is there anything else that we are missing?
Just a shout out to Machiavelli 420 with a dope fucking dope name, dude. I'm down.
Yeah,
I like
dude.
That name.
Yeah. Grizz is gonna take it. He's gonna trade you fucking Kane Enabler.
I'm gonna be Machiavelli 420.
Grim Reaper. No, Vlad the Inhaler is pretty good, dude. Yeah,
you like that? That's pretty good. I liked it too.
That is pretty good. I feel like you did a good job with that one. Do you want me to change your thing to that? It won't say Grizz anymore. It'll say Vlad the Inhaler.
Like that.
Yeah.
More soothing, I think.
I think I'm going to have to... I'm looking right now. I think I may have to try to change our background for episode 300.
Let's do something fun.
Do a refresh. Like let's do a refresh. Let me look through the fucking... Right. Let me look through the archive. We'll see what we can find. But thank you, everybody, for coming. You can watch these on our YouTube channel after they go up right away. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You could find the audio version of this everywhere where you could find podcasts. But I would suggest watching the YouTube video so you can actually see the clips that we're talking about. But we will see you next week with our talk about Peter Jackson, Dead Alive, Bad Taste, Meet the Feebles, Heavenly Creatures, what the fuck else? The Frighteners, everything. We will see you next week with a very special show with EK Wimmer of the Laser Graves Podcast. Right. See ya. Man.